Today we're going to study about how to stay with Christ. How to stay with Christ. It's kind of a follow-up message to one that we had several weeks ago in October on staying with Christ. And we're just going to kind of recap that message from several weeks ago called Staying with Christ. And the question was this: how do you live once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? We talked about how to live our lives after accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. In other words, can you live just the way you want after accepting Christ into your life? Any way you please and expect that God's grace will automatically forgive willful sins and offenses? Could you just live any way that you please and expect that God's grace will automatically forgive willful sins and offenses? No, right? You can't. After accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord, you have got to make a very conscious decision to live righteously. To live righteously, to be holy as God is holy in all that we do. 1 Peter 1:14 through 15. What is the holiness of God? We talked about this. What is holiness? What is the holiness of God? What does it mean that God is holy? It means that God is totally separate from sin. Sin cannot stand in the presence of God for even a millisecond. Let's read Hebrews 12, verse 14 for just a moment. Hebrews 12:14. It says this: make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. He says, make every effort. He says, strive to live in peace with all men. Strive to be holy. Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So the question I want to address today is this. Is that when we get weak in ourselves, as we fight to live holy lives, what do we do to refuel and keep energized in making every effort to live these righteous lives? Let me say it again. When we get weak in ourselves and fighting to live a holy life, what do we do to refuel and keep energized in making every effort to live holy lives? How do we keep energized? How do we keep refueled to live and to fight to live holy and righteous lives? Think about it this way. Some of you guys may work outside. How many of you guys have worked outside in the past on some pretty hot summer days? You might be a concrete mason. You may have done roofing, maybe landscaping. Maybe you did some this summer in the 100-degree days. I know that I have. And it's tough, right? You get out there and you start working early in the morning, and little by little it climbs to 90 degrees and then 95 degrees and then 100 degrees and then 105 degrees, and you start sweating, and it feels like in your own flesh and your own self you just want to give up and quit, right? Whether it be landscaping, roofing, concrete work, whatever you might be doing outside. But there are certain things that we can do to keep energized while working in the heat, right? To keep refueled. What could you do to keep energized in the midst of a hot summer's day? Drink a lot of water. This man hit the nail on the head. Drink a lot of water. Gatorade, right? Replacing your, I believe it is electrolytes, right? So drink Gatorade, drink water. You might eat a good lunch, right? To keep yourself energized so that you can make it through an 8 or 9 hour day. Is that making sense? So I want to make the comparison spiritually. How do we stay energized in making this effort to live righteously with our whole being? How do we stay energized in making this effort in working to live righteously with our entire being? Remember, holiness includes every single part of our lives. We need to be holy as God is holy with our words, with the thoughts that we think, with what we do with our body, with our spirits, how we handle our money. We need to live holy lives in every single part of our existence. We're to strive, we're to work at being holy, at living righteously like God is holy and righteous. Amen? Amen? But sometimes we get weak. In making every effort, in working to live righteously, your flesh will get tired at times. And it may want to slip back into sin, into satisfying itself. Does that make sense? So as you You're trying to follow God. You're trying to, you know, follow Christ and live righteously. Sometimes in your own self, you're going to get weak. And maybe it's an alcoholic addiction that you've been overcoming or you overcame. Or maybe it's a cigarette addiction or a chemical addiction, a drug addiction that you overcame or you're overcoming. Maybe it's overcoming something concerning with the things you looked at with your eyes. Maybe you looked at things in the media, in newspapers, on the internet with your eyes that you should not have been looking at. And you've been overcoming that addiction, but maybe you're getting weak and you're slipping back into it. My question to you today is this: how do we get energized? How do we refuel to strengthen our spirits? See, to weaken the flesh and strengthen the spirit in the fight to live holy, you have got to do what? It's a main key.
It's a battle of the mind.
It's a battle of the mind. You've got to pray.
It's a battle of the flesh. The fight's not in the flesh.
It's not in the flesh. But sometimes the flesh wants to overtake because the flesh is weak. So to weaken the flesh, to put the flesh to death, and to strengthen the spirit in the fight to live holy, you have got to, say it with me, pray. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without ceasing, pray continually. I think what he's trying to say is keep your life in open communication with God. What did Jesus do at the start of the day in Mark 1:35? At the very start of the day, early in the day, Jesus did what? He prayed. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. While it was still dark, it might have been 4, it might have been 4:35, 5:30 in the morning. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, went to a secret place, and he prayed to the Father. How many here get up early in the morning? Maybe 4:30, 5 o'clock, 5:30. Friend, I encourage you, and I'm preaching to myself today. Try to find 5 or 10 minutes where you can communicate with God. That's what prayer is. It's two-way communication with God. It's where you talk to God and say, God, I'm trying to overcome the sin. God, I'm trying to be holy as you're holy. God, I'm trying to live righteously, but I get weak sometimes. And I want to slip back into that cigarette addiction, or I want to slip back into the drugs, or sometimes I find myself slipping back into looking at things with my eyes that I should not be looking at. God, I need your strength. And I guarantee if you pray to God, you cry out to God, he will respond. He will strengthen you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'll read you a couple of quotes here. A couple of quotes. And very interesting as I was studying today for this teaching on prayer. When you pray, pray as though everything depended on God. When you work, work as though everything depended on you. That's good, right? William Carey said this: secret, fervent, believing prayer lies at the root of all personal godliness. Should I read that again? William Carey: secret, fervent, believing prayer lies at the root of all personal godliness. This man, O. Halsby, says this: prayer and helplessness are inseparable. Only the one who is helpless can truly pray. Your helplessness is your best prayer. It calls from your heart to the heart of God with greater effect than all your uttered pleas. When we're helpless and without strength, pray to God, and God will help us. Is that making sense? George Mueller. How many here have ever heard of George Mueller? It's a great book. I'm reading it, finishing it up. This man was a missionary in the 1800s in England. He started orphanages, believed God for every piece of finance, every bit of finances to come in to support the orphanages. And this man was just a tremendous man of God, as I've been reading through this book. And he says this concerning prayer. He says, if I desire more power over temptations, more wisdom, grace, or anything else that I may need in my service for God, what else should I do but make use of my fellowship with the Father and with the Son? By prayer and faith, we may obtain all necessary temporal and spiritual help and blessings. In all simplicity, we can pour out our heart before God. Then we have to believe that He will give us according to our need. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, then this precious privilege of being in partnership with the Father and the Son is yours. That's good, right? Now, Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest missionaries in the New Testament, got weak at times. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he had these awesome, he was caught up into the third heaven, and it was revelations from the Lord, and I think he was the one that got these revelations. And it says this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. He says this. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. So when he was pleading with God three times to take this thorn away, what was he doing?
Praying.
He was praying, exactly. But God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am what?
Strong.
And it's not his strength, right? His human strength. It's the strength of God through him. And it's the same with us. As we pray to God in our weaknesses, God's strength will be evidenced in our lives through us. But it comes down to prayer. It seems that God does nothing except somebody prays. The same Paul the Apostle wrote this in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He writes this about prayer, speaking in a tongue. He says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So you can speak in a heavenly tongue, and when you speak in that heavenly tongue, you are edifying yourself on the inside. Your spirit man is being edified. What does it mean to be edified on the inside?
Communicating with God.
To be edified means to be strengthened, to be built up on the inside. When you pray in a tongue to God, you are edifying yourself on the inside. You are building your spirit man up on the inside. It strengthens you to put up with the temptations and the ungodliness around you so that you won't slip back into those ungodly things you used to do. Is that making sense today, guys? Okay. So when we get weak in ourselves and we start to slip back into some of the sins that we once were dealing with before Christ, what do we do? First and foremost, we pray to God. It's two-way communication with God. And when you pray to God in your helplessness, God will respond and he will strengthen you. Number two, in working to live righteously, the enemy, we don't only battle with the flesh, right, that gets weak, we also battle with the enemy, that old devil. So in working to live righteously, the enemy may tempt us to do what is unholy with our lives. See, we're battling with two different things. We're battling with the flesh, who wants to sin, right? And then we're also battling with the devil, who would tempt us to sin as we're following Christ. To scare off the devil, you've got to do what? When the devil comes into your life and whispers into your spiritual ear, to scare him off, what do we have to do? The Word, the Word, the Word. We have got to read the Word, we've got to meditate upon the Word, and we have got to speak the Word with our mouths. Let me say it again. To scare off the devil when he tries to bring temptations to sin, we have got to read the Word. You've got to have the Word on the inside of you. You've got to meditate, think about what you read. And then when he comes to tempt you, you speak the Word. And if you speak the Word, you'll scare him off. But to scare him off with the Word has got to be deep down on the inside of you. Is that making sense today? All right. Let me read you this. Little story here that was interesting. And it says this. The transforming power of the Bible. Many books can inform, but only the Bible can transform. Ramad was the most dangerous man in all of India. His gang attacked, plundered, and terrified the remote villages of the area. He was wanted dead or alive. While ransacking a small home in one of these villages, he found a small black book. At first, he started to throw it away, but he noticed that the paper was very thin and just the right size for all your roll your own cigarettes. Each evening, after a meal, Ramad would relax with a smoke. He would take out the little book, tear a page out, and fold it over for the tobacco. One evening, while folding the paper, he noticed the writing was in his own language. So each evening after eating, he would read a page of the little book and then smoke it. One evening, he knelt down and asked Jesus to forgive his sins and to be his savior. The small black book was the Bible. He turned himself over to the police, much to their surprise, and turned from a bandit to a prisoner for Christ. The prison became Ramad's mission field, where he led many other prisoners to Jesus. God's word made the change in his life. That's awesome, isn't it? All right. George Mueller, again, let me read you something else that George Mueller says concerning growing in our faith. He says this: carefully read the word and meditate on it. Through reading the word of God, and especially through meditation on it, the believer becomes acquainted with the nature and character of God. Besides God's holiness and justice, he realizes what a kind, loving, gracious, merciful, mighty, wise, and faithful Father he is. Therefore, in poverty, affliction, death of loved ones, difficulty in service, or financial need, he will rest on the ability of God to help him. He has learned from the word that God is almighty in power, infinite in wisdom, and ready to help and deliver his people. Reading the word of God together with meditation on it is an excellent way to strengthen faith. I would say it's an excellent way to live victoriously the life of following Christ. Amen? So if you're trying to follow Christ and you want to defeat the enemy who's trying to tempt you, you got to have the word on the inside of you. Read it, meditate upon it, and then speak it out. All right? Jesus did exactly this. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Let's read verses 1 through 11 as we close. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Now we know that Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God, right? He was the sinless one. He was God the Son. He was the only begotten Son of God. And he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. It says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You see, he was fully God and fully man. And in his humanity, he did become hungry like we become hungry, right? So the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Matthew 4, verse 3. Matthew 4, 4. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And guess where Jesus was quoting from? He was quoting from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him again, verse 7 of Matthew 4. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy 6:16. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Could you imagine the devil trying to tempt Jesus to bow down and worship him? Jesus said to him in verse 10, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Where was Jesus quoting from? Deuteronomy 6:13. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. The devil tempted Jesus three times, right? The devil was tempting Jesus to do what? To sin. As he was fighting to live holy as God the Father is holy. The devil had the nerve to try to tempt Jesus to sin as Jesus was fighting in his humanness to live holy as God is holy. And Jesus had what stored up on the inside of him from the Old Testament? What did he have stored up on the inside of him? The law and the prophets. He had the word stored up on the inside of him. So that when the enemy tempted him to sin, what did Jesus do with the word that was stored up on the inside of him? He spoke it forth. And he spoke it forth three times. And it says, the devil left him. The devil had to flee from Jesus. Now, who's our model for everyday living? Jesus Christ, right? Because we are what? Christians, followers of Christ. So if Jesus is our model for everyday living, we've got to do what Jesus did when he walked this earth. We've got to be in the Word. We've got to be reading it, thinking about it, and speaking it forth when the enemy wants to tempt us into sin. Is that making sense today? But friends, you know what? The Word is going to do you no good when the temptation comes if it's not on the inside of you. If your Word is just sitting on a shelf, or in your bag, or on top of your mat, it will do you no good when the temptation faces you face to face. It'll only do you good when it's on the inside of you, in your inner spirit man, in your heart. Thy word have I stored up within me, God, that I might not sin against you. Is that good? Finally, Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. The writer writes, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm telling you, friend, when the devil tries to come to you and whisper into your spiritual ear, start swinging your spiritual sword, the word of God. And as you swing it by speaking it out, you're going to scare him off. He will flee from you. So getting into the Word of God, storing it up and speaking it is the second way to energize yourself spiritually as you strive to live a holy and righteous life. Amen.